And what we try to borrow and help science out by saying, well, yeah, God used certain things that was already there to create certain things that was there. But no, God didn't use anything that was already there. He used his word to create what was here. There was no matter until God spoke to make matter. Amen. There was nothing in existence. There was nothing there until God spoke and things became. Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. How many of you every now and then just ask the Lord to help you to hold out until your change comes? Praise the holy name of the Lord. All this month long, we're going to be going back to the old school of songs and encouraging our hearts and the songs that got us to the place where we are. Amen. Amen. I feel like breaking out one now, but the time is short. I got to preach. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now as we turn our attention to your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. Minister to us as only you can. And then when it is over, God, we will not only be hearers, but we'll be doers of your holy word. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. And not only is February known as Black History Month, but it's also the month of love and month of the heart, as we call it. And I want us to look at the fourth chapter of Proverbs, and a very important verse that speaks about the heart is found there. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, For out of it are the issues of life. May the Lord bless this word and those who hear. Ah, the heart. That is where our problems lie. The heart here represents your ethical center, your intellectual center. What you think, what is going on with your will, your perceptions of yourself and your knowledge of God. The condition of your heart is critical because what goes on there determines the course of your life. One of the things that I think is so important is the word says, so guard what is happening in your heart with all diligence. Picture your heart pumping blood to all of the main extremities of your body. And because the blood pumps, the heart pumps the blood to all of these areas, it extends life to every area of your body. Think of now your spiritual heart, because likewise, it too pumps the lifeline fluid that keeps your spiritual man together. And so oftentimes when we think about the heart, both the physical heart and the spiritual heart both play an important role to not only the physical body, but the spiritual body. And while many times we guard ourselves in looking out after the natural heart, doing what it takes to be heart healthy, trying to eat right, trying to exercise right, getting checkups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mindful of the fact that the heart plays a major role in the physical well-being of the individual, so must we also be diligent enough to look at the spiritual man and the spiritual heart and recognize that it equally plays an important part in the spiritual life of the believer. If you do not guard your spiritual heart and you wind up having heart decay, you wind up having heart issues, heart attacks, etc., 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 then you will weaken the very spiritual fiber of your spirit man and thus become weak and vulnerable to the attacks and the exploits of the enemy. It's important for you to recognize that what goes on in your spiritual heart is as much your responsibility as what goes on with your physical heart. And so we must do diligence in taking care of our spiritual heart. So the Bible is very clear. If you want to keep your heart pure, then you need to check your actions. And there are three areas I just want to list very quickly. This is not going to be a long word, because again, sometimes we get caught up in all of the mechanics and miss the dynamics. I just want us to look at these areas, because these three areas will actually give you a good bird's eye view of how you are keeping your heart and how diligent you are in minding your heart. First thing I want you to look at is your heart is going to reveal by your speech, and your speech is going to reveal by your heart how or what condition your heart is in. Be careful about that, because I want you to see something, if you will, in verse 24. It says, right after verse 23, where we just got through reading, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Is your speech truthful, straightforward, or is it misleading? Is it with beguiling effects, deceitful intent? What is your mouth really saying? Because you got to realize that the Bible declares, out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. So what you got to realize is that what comes out of your mouth don't start at your mouth. It has a deeper connection. And so whether you're talking good talk or bad talk, if you're talking mischievous talk, if you're talking talk of misconduct and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of it has its root in your heart. If you're talking faith talk, if you're talking love talk, if you're talking truth talk, all of that has a deeper reservoir of holdings. And so what you've got to realize, and it gives you a helpful holy hint as to really what is in your heart. And listen at this. The heart is a container. It's a holder of many sorts and of many other things. But one of the things you're going to recognize is it's a storage bin. And listen at this. It doesn't create stuff as much in this capacity as much as it stores stuff. So you've got to look at what you've got in your storage. You know, when you put something in your heart, and one of the things that you're going to realize about a heart is it's designed, listen, to process stuff, not to pack and store stuff. And so when you use it as a processing mechanism, it is so that that is on the inside can affect that's on the outside. When God puts love in your heart, the only way love's going to be all that it's valued to be at is not if it stays there, but if it is given away. If it is extended to others, then God replenishes that, and he replaces it with greater and purer love each and every time. So you need to realize that you are processing love. If you get it and you store it and stack it and never give it to anyone, never show it to anyone, it becomes of no value to anyone, including yourself. So you've got to be careful at what is in your heart, because out of that heart will come the very essence of what your mouth speaks. And that's why really all you've really got to do is spend some time talking to folk, and they'll reveal what's in your heart. You know, somebody say, I want to know your heart. Do you? Let's talk. And when you talk, what is real is going to come out. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody got a representative. Y'all know what a representative is, don't you? Representative is that part of you that's the better part of you. That's the part, that's the actor or actress part of you. That's the part that you put on, that you don't want folk to see the real you. That's the part you put on to go answer the door. You know, that's the part. You know, I've seen folk been that phobia, and the phone went, hello. You know, that's that different part that people don't know about that part. So you send your representative, you know, and folk wind up, and the problem with that is, folk fall in love with the representative. They become friends with the representative. They think that the representative is the real you. And it isn't until they get to know you that they realize, and sometimes it don't take very long, that was a representative. And so one of the things you've got to realize, again, is what reveals our heart is our mouth. What is your mouth saying about your heart? And you need to be careful, because again, it's what is in the heart and that is released through the mouth that's going to determine many of your actions, certainly your attitude, your activities, and your ambitions. Your mouth gives you a snapshot of whether or not you need to have some work done on your heart. I want you to see something else. Not only does your speech or your mouth reveal about what's in your heart, but I want you to see something else, because the truth of the matter is your eyes do also. You mean to tell me my eyes reveal what's in my heart? Yeah. Listen at this. Let's look at verse 25. It's right after verse 24, which is right after verse 23. And look at what it says. Let thine eyes look right on. Listen now. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. It means let your eyes look directly ahead. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. You know, one of the problems with the eye is It's not generally the problem with what you see in front of you. It's the side issues. It's the stuff you see in the peripheral. It's the stuff that's in the corner of your eyes. You know, the stuff that you, if you can't look at it straight on, it ain't worth you looking out the corner of your eyes at. It's just something sneaky about it. Just look. If it's not worth looking straight at, don't bother yourself. That's how folk become cockeyed in it. You know, suffer vision issues. Because they're trying to look at something they know they ought not be. You ain't got to say, man, I know I'm right about it. You know, they pretend they're looking up at the lights just to get a glimpse of that direction or this or that and the other. But what that reveals, listen at this, your eyes reveal where the motives of your heart are. Because if they're pure, you know, something's wrong. Even in you know this, in ethics and even the world has discovered that. When somebody comes, shake your hand. If they can't look you in the eye, usually it reveals something about their shady character, something about them that's not right, something about their motives, something about the way they do business, something about them that does not want you to realize and recognize that there's something that's not right about what their desire is. And so a lot of times when folk can't look you in the face, is because they don't want to deal with reality or deal with truth or deal with being discovered. Your eyes will say much about what's in your heart. You can tell if folk lying to you if they just look at you. That's why when you really want to talk to some stuff, don't talk on the phone. No, let's talk on the phone. No, I don't. No, I want to see you face. I want to look in your eyes. And when they get the blanket and get to staring off and looking all around, can't look at you. No, look at me. Look at, you might have to say that 20 times in the conversation. No, look what you're looking at. Look at me. I'm right here. Why? Because, again, your looking into the eyes reveals what's going on in the heart. Many times, right in the midst of the eye, you'll find the word lie. That's why they don't want to look you in the eye. Right in the midst of looking in the eye, you'll find the word guilty, wrong, etc., 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 etc. So that's why when you are right, you have no problem with looking people in the eye and being real with them. The eyes say much about the condition of your heart. It's one thing to be shy. It's a whole nother thing to be misleading. And the eyes will give vent to the condition of the heart as relates to your stance and the truthfulness of your stance. And one of the things that you will discover that even in the midst of your heart, with the good and with the bad, the eyes will give way to what is real. What is real. That's important for us to recognize. That's why the word says guard your heart, because your heart is connected to every other part of your being. And you'll be surprised that though the heart is covered and you do not see it directly, you see indirectly the effects of what the heart holds. But there's something else. Not only do you see the speech and the eyes, but also there's something else that's going to be revealed. Because the things that you look at, the things that enhance your mind and your morals, and all of the things that happen as a result of your watching, your looking, your seeing, speak much about your morals. You see, when you are morally correct, you don't even want to look at stuff that doesn't benefit your mind, that doesn't benefit your heart. When When you get it right in your heart, your eyes are going to want to be focused on purity. Not just those things that are pleasing to the flesh. When you get it together, your eyes are going to want to see those things that bring edification to your mind. Again, affecting your morals. See, when you get your heart right, your eyes are going to want to look on things that are holy. Things that are righteous, things that are pure. You see some stuff that's not right, your eyes don't want to behold that. Your eyes are going to call attention to the fact that something must address this situation to change this situation, not to see this situation become worse. And so knowing that, it gives way to the next portion of what your heart reveals, and that's your paths, your direction. The way that you go. Look at verse 26. It follows verse 25, which follows verse 24, which tells us in verse 23 how we ought to guard our hearts. Look at what it says. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Listen at this. It's important to recognize this as you continue this word out, that your path takes again its directives from your heart. See, when our feet run quick to mischief, it's because of what's in our heart. And the reason why the feet run quick to mischief is because the heart knows it's wrong. And it hurry up and does it, because if it don't do it quickly, it's going to have too much in its conscience forcing it not to do it. And so that's why, listen at this, because I want to try and bring it all together for you. That's why the devil works with all of these extremities, but he knows they're connected with your heart. So if he messes up your heart, he messes up your eyes. Messes up your eyes, he messes up your mouth or your heart. Messes up your mouth, he messes up your heart, he messes up your feet. So what happens is, with your heart being messed up, you're not going to see right. In other words, you're not going to see what God wants you to see. You're going to see something perverted. You're going to see something that's delusional. You're going to see something that is ungodly, something that's unholy, something that appeals to the flesh but not the spirit. You're going to see something that the enemy has set up for you to tantalize you, tease you, and ultimately trap you, because you were looking with an impure heart. So once you see it, your mouth is then going to open up and begin to speak those things, so that you can bring those things into the grips of your own grasp. So you can have, in other words, your mouth going to talk up on what your eyes just got through looking at. Somebody's not hearing me here. And then your feet are going to take you in the wrong direction, in the wrong places. And when you get in the wrong places, knowing that you did what you did because it was wrong, you want to cut the lights out so you can't see. The Bible says it. Men rather darkness than light, because their deeds were evil. Why do you think the man said, turn off the lights? Some of you ain't smiling because it's hitting you all up in your heart. No, don't be turning no lights off here, nowhere, nothing. If it's right, let me see. See, you go fooling around with all that mess and get yourself hooked up, and they turn off the lights, start taking off this and taking off this and taking off this and taking off this. And you get up, you don't know what you done woke up. What you saw in the light wasn't the same thing in the dark. You ain't got to say, man, I'm trying to help you here today. So, guard your heart. Because the best of what God has for you, he's going to place it in your heart and benefit your entire life. And you got to guard it, because those are the precious things that God wants you to experience with him. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He's going to show you what you ought to desire. See, when you got your focus on him and you love him and you talk to him and you draw near to him, he's going to open up your heart and say, I've been thinking about you today. And you say, Lord, you have? He said, yes, I have. And he said, well, what have you been thinking? And he opens up your heart and he say, let me show you a little bit. And he drops in your heart and you're, heart just kind of skips a beat there, you know, because he starts putting the things in there that draws you closer to him, that makes you feel the wonder of his might and glory of his majesty. And you start really connecting with the Creator on a level that can only happen when your heart is right. And then he gives you glimpses of him, because the Bible says only the pure in heart shall see God. Listen, it didn't say when you die and get to heaven you'll see God. It said only the pure in heart shall see God. God gives them a glimpse of him, a view of him, a sighting of him that only comes from a pure heart. If your heart is not right, David put it this way, if I regard iniquity, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. See, if your heart is not right, God can't draw nigh to you, can't have fellowship with you, can't be intimate with you, because he's not going to be where satanic powers and presences and presence are. He's got to be in a pure place. And that's a prepared place. That's a place where room has been made for God. It's no happenstance, no accident. You have cleaned out your heart, cleared out your heart, and made your heart available to God. You have made sure some stuff that's been trying to get in your you can't get up in here. And stuff that gets in your heart comes in many different forms and through different avenues and through different arenas. But you've got to guard your heart so that the stuff that should not be there does not get there. And I've got news for you. The devil don't give up like talking about. If he can't get you one way, he's going to try and get you another way. If he don't catch you by air, he's going to try and get you by land. Can't get you by land, he'll try and get you by sea. Can't get you by sea, he'll try and come in the invisible world. Whatever realm he comes in, he does it to destroy you. And you've got to be wise enough to know that God is giving you the responsibility to guard your own heart. Listen. If the enemy comes in and makes a fool of you, and God has already told you to guard your heart, it's nobody's fault but your own. See, James has said, when you know better, you do better. You don't give your heart that precious place to the enemy, give him access and give him the ability to come in to destroy, to break, to damage your heart. You've got to guard your heart because it's the place where you want the presence and the precious things of God to reside. And so if you don't guard your heart will never know the true joys of God. Your heart will never know what it is that God wants you to know, the highs that God wants you to experience in him, the benefit and the blessings that come only when those who have guarded their heart present their heart pure and holy to a God who will fill it with his divine treasures. My question to you today is, how is your heart doing? Your eyes, your mouth, and your feet will give you helpful holy hints as to condition that your heart presently is in. Give the Lord a hand of praise for his word today. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, God is speaking to you, asking you to check your heart.